Welcome to the general meeting of the Gustavus City Council for April 10, 2023. Will a clerk please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop.
Here.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis.
Here.
Councilmember Brian Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll.
Here.
Councilmember Shelley Owens.
Here.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak.
Here.
Mayor Mike Taylor.
Here.
All here.
Thank you. We have a quorum, and we'll proceed to our vision statement. And I'd like Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop to read our vision statement, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety, while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and a caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. You all may have noticed that Treasurer Ben Sadler is doing the clerk steps for us this time, being overseen by and trained by our clerk, Karen Platt. And this is Karen's last regular meeting before she leaves for her new employment at the park. And she's agreed to help us out as she's got time as for a transition period. We have the position open for the job is open for applications. But I'd like to take the opportunity first to ask Karen to come up here, and we have a certificate of appreciation for you, Karen. And I'll read the certificate first, and we have a little gift certificate with it too. Presented to Karen Platt for her duties as the city clerk of Gustavus for almost 6 years, in appreciation for your untiring efforts and support for the city of Gustavus, several mayors and city councils, employees, residents, and our democratic election processes with diligence, organization, integrity, and honor. All the best wishes to you for the future, both personally and in your new career. The council therefore wishes to present you with this certificate of appreciation for your commitment to the town and its people. So there's the certificate. And then we also have a gift certificate for you from Stellar Botanical Health, which we understand is one of your favorite local stores.
Yes.
And as an additional thank you, and we very much appreciate your service. It's been a real pleasure working with you, and we're thank you for guiding Ben today, and we'll appreciate whatever little bits of time we can get from you while we transition.
I'll do my best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to approval of the minutes for the March 13th. 2023 general meeting. Council member Tanya Lewis has a motion to approve by unanimous consent. Tanya, yeah. You're on mute. Oh, there you are.
Okay, I move to approve by unanimous consent the March 13th, 2023 general meeting minutes.
Thank you. It's been moved to approve the minutes. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Councilmember Taylor has seconded the motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent. Do any members of the public have any corrections or additions to make to the minutes of the March meeting? So please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections? Looks good. As always, Karen does a wonderful job with these. And so if there are no objections, we will consider the motion passed by unanimous consent. Okay, passed by unanimous consent. The next item is the mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no suggestions for changing the agenda for tonight. Does anybody wish to reorder anything for any reason? Or? Okay, thanks. We'll consider the agenda set as posted then. And we'll move on to committee reports. The first is from our fire chief, Chief Martinez, for the Volunteer Fire Department. Your quarterly report, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Mike, and thank you, Council, and thank you, Karen, for your work for the city. Training has finally kicked off a little bit the last few months. In January, though, we did start off with the budget, as you know, and looking through, and that's where I can get the chance to look forward and look what basically what we can do. This stuff, basically like fire conference that's actually happening in Valdez this next year, next fiscal year. And also just continuing education hours for volunteers, like target solutions and stuff. So funding this next fiscal year budget allows us to keep on training our volunteers and also keep supplies out for ambulance, fire engine, stuff like that. Next part is I actually would like to congratulate Leah Oaken and Chantel Weir for receiving their EMT2 license. They spent 2 weeks in Juneau in which they spent their time getting their EMT2 license, which they passed. And also I'd like to thank Juneau Fire Department for providing the space for us to send the two volunteers free of charge. And all we had to do is pay for their travel and stuff like that. Also thanking Brad King, who helped proctor the state test here as well. Next little part that happened the same month, or February month, I should say, me and Johan attended a level one instructor course from NAMC, which this basically is a big step to become EMT1 instructors. This will allow us to teach up ETT as well. I still had to do some orientations, hopefully happen to end of this month. Later in the month, I did give two CPR aid first aid classes, in which we had a total of 18 attendees who stuck out between the two classes and was able to, they got their first aid CPR classes. So I want to thank them for attending the 6-hour class. I know it was a lot of videos and listening to me talk. And also something worth mentioning, COVID testing is still, speaking of CPR first aid, we are still planning on future classes. It's just, we don't have any date as of yet. I was sure to notify people through the same news and billboards. So keep an eye out if you're still interested in keeping your first aid, but also getting your CPR first aid certification. Something worth mentioning about COVID testing, we are still COVID testing Monday, Thursday, and Saturday, 12 to 3 p.m. We do have rapid molecular tests aplenty. We're not going to run out anytime soon. We do have some antigen tests as well and some take-home tests. However, once the take-home tests run out, we're not going to be able to order anymore. So we are trying to make them spread out a little bit, but I think There's also other ways you can order. You can Amazon sells them, other places. You actually can buy your own rapid molecular test kit as well. And something a little bit exciting news, we are the health fair is actually happening this year, is April 29th, at starting at 8 a.m. ending at 12 p.m. Circling around the blood test, which you can sign up at the Alaska Health Fair website, which is alaskahealthfair.org. alaskahealthfair.org. And you just need to scroll down. It's on the first page. It's, and look at that Southeast and Gustavus, and look to your right a little bit, and it's just make an appointment and just follow through the prompts from there. Doing that will help the people who are coming to bring enough supplies for everyone, so that way we don't run out. If you forgot to make an appointment, it's all right. We won't turn you around. It's just I can't press it enough to make sure you make an appointment. You can give me a call at the fire hall. I'm more than willing to help you out and make the appointment there. You can also call them as well at 907-278-0234, in which they can help you make an appointment as well, and through them. And there's also going to be informational booths. As I understand it, there can't be any money transactions, but it's going to be mostly information for people who want to know more about stuff. Things may change, but the things right now that I'm comfortable in saying that are intending is, and please forgive me if I get the titles wrong, but right now at the health fair is going to be a hospice table, awares, I expect, going to show up as well. The Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department is going to also have a table for sure. Search is going to have a table, and there's going to be some brochures of at least the medevac insurance. Whether there's going to be people attending those tables, I'm not 100% sure yet. As of yet, I'm still waiting on one company to respond to me here. And something worth mentioning: burn season is definitely here. If the permit that you had last year expired last year, you can get a new permit again for this year on the dnr.alaska.gov/burn, where you can go through the prompts there and get a permit to attend. Other than that, we're always looking for new volunteers. If you're interested in becoming a volunteer for the fire department, whether it's dispatch, fire, EMS, or all of the above, give me a call. I'm more than willing to answer your questions. We're looking for people as well.
Thanks. Any questions for our chief? Let me at least add to the recognition for those of you who've done extra training. It's the, Leah and Chantel have done EMT2, and that's a big deal. There's a lot of work to do that. And I was in the department and I never tried to do the EMT stuff, but I'm aware of how much work it is. And then thanks also to you and Johan for getting through the instructor course. That builds our capabilities, really, and it's really important. And thanks especially also for the work on organizing the health fair. I hope it's a real success and that people sign up to take advantage of the opportunity to get a blood draw and get all the basic screening stuff done that they may want. So it's a good opportunity. Okay, thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
And the next is our city clerk's quarterly report, Clerk Karen Platt.
Thank you. So I've been working a little bit more on some public outreach. I had hoped to try testing out the YouTube closed captioning for tonight's meeting one last time, but we didn't get a chance to, so we'll have to try that again another time. And working with the volunteers, the librarians at the library, they're gonna have the volunteers ask patrons when they're checking out if they are on the news group, and if not, if they would like to be added to it, to try to reach more people that way. And then with Councilmember Driscoll and the librarians and myself, we're hoping to come up with maybe a public session on how to navigate our website for the public. And then we'll add that to council and staff onboarding procedures. And then I've also been working, as always, on the records retention. With Paul Berry leaving us in June, we met together to go through his records. He hadn't done so since he has been the DRC manager. And I was a little terrified thinking, oh my gosh, he saves everything, even though he's the master down there. And it was pretty great. He is super organized, and it didn't take long to go through his what he needed to do. One thing that Paul doesn't have, or I don't have in our records retention schedule, is a section for the DRC. And when I did that, was it last year, maybe the year before, he wasn't prepared to include anything on that. And so on this agenda, there is a resolution to update that schedule with a section that includes the DRC. And then on the next agenda, he will have a certificate of records destruction for whatever he needs to get rid of at this point. And then we also talked a lot about historical records, because everything to Paul is of historical value. So he'll be going through the records with a keen eye on what he should keep and what he shouldn't keep in terms of historical value. And then, as you already know, I've submitted my resignation as of effective April 21st. And in preparation for my departure, I'm creating a desk handbook for the clerk with everything spelled out. And I'll have it as inclusive as possible by the time I'm done. But I will be available to ask questions and mentor whoever is going to fill these shoes. I've been working on that. And I have been working on position descriptions and job announcements, just to bring everything in line with each other in terms of formatting and making sure they have all the information that's required in ordinance. And so that is on this agenda as well, on the consent agenda. And I didn't include the position announcements because that's not required to be passed by the council, but that's been updated also for each department. As well as, I need to get going a little bit more on this, but I'm going to update the council onboarding procedures. And then there isn't really one for staff, and so I'm going to create something like that for staff. And the last thing that I've been doing is just updating all my weekly, monthly, daily, annual calendars for the next person so that things don't get forgotten. And then last, I just wanted to thank all of you, all the council members before you and the community, for trusting me as your city clerk. It's been an honor, and I'm going to miss it. I'm available if you have any questions.
Any questions for our clerk?
Jim has his hand up, Mike.
I'm sorry.
I've got my hand up.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Forgot to look at my screen, Jim. Sorry.
Yeah, I just have a comment, and Karen's been invaluable, and I really appreciated working for her, but is there anything in our statutes that said we have to accept her resignation?
I figured there'd be somebody trying to twist her arm to stay. We sort of tried that. Any other questions for our clerk? Okay, thank you again. We'll miss you. And the next item is our city treasurer's monthly financials. And since he's running the clerk position at the computer over there. He's asked if we just ask you to read the his middle in the packet. We're right on schedule on our financials. There are no outstanding issues that causes any worry. So looks like we're on track for another good financial year. So so please review his report in the packet. And that brings us to the city administrator report. Kathy Leary.
Thank you. So as Karen stated, and before she's left, she's been reformatting the position descriptions and job announcements. So they look the same. So they have the same ordinance cited on each description. And at the end of the document, rather than various job descriptions had sort of the ordinances threaded through the document. So she's put them all at the bottom of each one. The landfill manager operator position description hadn't been updated since 2014, and we brought it current in anticipation of Paul's retirement and incorporated it with the recent operator position description that you guys approved recently, because that one was more current. So we incorporated the manager's duties into that one. And the librarian descriptions were also updated based on some discrepancies, which was brought out at a recent meeting, such as the supervisory piece. I found a document that had been attempted to change all of those things in 2020, but apparently it had never moved forward to the council, because there was one with a bunch of track changes, changing the supervisory role, but it never got put forward. So anyway, this is an attempt to bring them all current, or as current as we can. Hopefully those are before you tonight for approval. As I mentioned last time, the permit application for the septic had been approved by ADCEC for the tank system, and the RFQ was posted, and the tanks arrived today on the ferry. So they'll be brought to the DRC for staging on Tuesday or Wednesday. And you have an NCO before you tonight that is some supplementary funding for the project. We had some unanticipated regulatory provisions required by DEC. We needed some additional project management funds and site preparation so we could adequately stage the pump truck when they go to pump the material. So that's on its way. We're hoping to get started on it in the next few weeks. I've continued to work on some of our grant projects. I had to gather additional letters of support and materials for submission and upload the final documents to the appropriate agencies. We've submitted 5 applications in all. So now we just wait and hope. The Marine Facilities Coordinator, we've interviewed and will send a letter out tomorrow to a prospective employee. And hopefully we'll have them hired. And the one candidate that we asked if they would be willing to be hired on as a temp for a few days in anticipation of moving the floats. And they said that that would be okay. So we're looking at doing that. And I testified to the House Education Subcommittee on House Bill 21, which is the state insurance pool for municipalities and school districts. So this is a big deal. It's a big bill in front of the legislature, and it will allow school districts, municipalities — University of Alaska has declined to participate — but it allows them to access the Alaska Cares Health Pool that the state employs have. So we don't have to belong to just little umbrella groups that we may or may not have a big enough threshold for our employees. And I don't know what the cost is going to be, or whether, you know, the idea is that if they mitigate all these people into the self-insurance pool, that the costs will go down. And it'll help us attract and retain employees because they'll have benefits for spouse and family. So I testified on that bill. They have a Senate bill version that they've asked me to testify in 2 days from now on the Senate bill version. So they invited me to talk about that. I worked with Seoul on phase two of the funding application from the Division of Public Health and Equitable Communities. They've offered up a second phase of that, which is quadruple the funding that they offered before. And we hope to be able to apply that $20,000 towards our radio tower project that came in at a little bit higher than we anticipated. So that'll cover a bunch of the overages that we didn't anticipate. Today, I finalized the lease agreement with Ken McGowan for the old post office building. He's already started clearing stuff out of there and he'll start making the repairs. He has to leave for a while, but he hopes to be able to operate starting beginning of August. So we haven't signed it yet, but we hope to sign it tomorrow. So we have that in place. And well, I know the mayor's report will cover several joint projects we've been working on so collectively. So with that, I'll end my report. And if anybody has any questions or suggestions, like what we may have to do in the interim as we recruit for a city clerk. And so if anybody's got any great ideas, we're looking for them. Thanks.
Yeah, we've got it posted at AML and with the Clerks Association and around Gustavus and so forth. So we're hoping to get some good applicants. Any questions for our city administrator this evening?
Yes. So can you elaborate on the five applications of the grants that you said there were five applications as to what they are?
Well, we've been working on them for a few months. So one of them is the Swiffer grant for the DRC for the composting facility. One of them is congressionally directed spending. That was the latest one. It was congressionally directed spending for the full-on recycling facility, which is a $4 million project. The Village Safe Water reached out to us and they had planning grant funds available. So we put that in for planning grant for septage for long-term for the community. It doesn't help us with this capital project, but it will look at what we need in the community long-term. What's that three? The Good River Bridge repair and the side path. Those are the five. And I'm looking at Denali Commission matching funds to see if we can't try to get eke a few funds out of them, but that might take longer than we have. So we'll see.
And then you had mentioned previously that the grant writer that we'd been working with was no longer writing grants for us. Is there any progress towards finding someone else or another firm?
We can look for another firm, but because they had done what they were obligated to do for us and we had our hands full with the ones we had, I haven't really looked further. But yes, there are other folks out there, but I know they're all busy. And I asked this company if they were going to replace Olivia and they said no. So they're just going to probably limit who they're not only a grant writing firm, they're an environmental firm as well. So they have other projects too. So I haven't found anybody yet. If anybody knows anybody and wants to move a name forward, I'd love to hear it.
And in some cases, Kathy works directly and as does the chief, they're working on another grant for the to get some more money for our tower installation. Between them, they're hoping to get without using the grant agency. Okay, any other questions for our city administrator? Okay, thank you, Kathy. We'll move on to public comment on non-agenda items. This period, comment period is for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion. If you'd like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. State your full name when before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Of course, we'll be respectful in our language. And you'll have another opportunity at the end of the meeting for public comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public wish to make any comments on non-agenda items at this time? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands come up. So next opportunity is at the end of the meeting. And we'll move on to the consent agenda. And we have a really packed consent agenda, but we put things on the consent agenda that we don't anticipate to be controversial in any way and are fairly routine, or are introductions of NCOs for which we'll have public hearing at the next meeting. And so we have our usual certificate of records destruction, as the clerk keeps our records in order per our policy. We have the position descriptions to be approved, that those changes were described by Kathy a few minutes ago, and they're largely formatting and some minor changes, but nothing that's really substantive in the descriptions. It just makes them all more consistent and picks up a few editing errors here and there. So if you got any questions, we'd have to move that one to new business. We have a project scoping document on there for the cul-de-sac improvements. That's one that I've talked about quite a bit. We've got 5 cul-de-sacs that we are going to improve so that we have better turning area for snow plowing and so forth. And it'll make the ends of those roads actually look a lot better and be much more serviceable for everybody. And we merge them nicely into driveways that are at the ends of those roads. So that's a $35,000 project. And we have an NCO also on the agenda to introduce to fund that one. There's a small scoping document for the community chest door replacement project that's about $4,500, I think. And it's another routine thing that we decided to do as a small capital project rather than trying to take that out of the repair and replacement budget for the particular department. And then we have 4 NCOs to introduce, and the public hearings will be next month. The first is funding for the septage storage facility, and that's $42,000. The next one is an AMLIP repair and replacement transfer, and this is a budgeted item in our operating budget. Every year we move funds into our repair and replacement account for major repairs or replacement according to a schedule that we have. And the calculated amount from that schedule is $16,545.71. So that's how much we're moving into that special savings account for those possible future replacements or major repairs. Then we are moving some money from our checking account. We really had too much in the checking account and we wanted to move it to AMLIP accounts. And so the treasurer recommended moving $200,000 to the road maintenance. I think I've got this right, the road maintenance account, and $235,000 to the capital improvement savings accounts. Those are in AMLIP. That's the Alaska Municipal League investment pool accounts, where we get some interest rather than leaving them in non-interest bearing checking accounts. So that's an introduction to be approved in May. And then finally, there's a $35,000 NCO to fund the cul-de-sac improvements that I mentioned earlier. So that's what's on the consent agenda. Are there any members? Are there any members of the public who wish to remove any of those items from the consent agenda to put them into new business for discussion?
I don't necessarily want to remove one, but I just do want to make sure that everyone has read the descriptions of the job descriptions. I read them today and they're amazing as to how much stuff there is. And so if you ever want to know what the librarian or the various staff, the city manager, the city clerk, what they do, it's really important.
We get to counsel next on that. Let me make sure we don't have anybody from the public who wishes to change anything. Okay, we haven't had any hands go up from the public. So do any council members wish to make any changes? And I guess you could finish your comment.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, no, just I think it's great. And I think it's really important that we make sure we know what's on them.
Okay. Yeah, I think do any council members have any objections to approving the consent agenda by unanimous consent? I guess we need a motion first. I'm sorry. And Councilmember Shelley Owens has a motion for us.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
May we have a second?
I'll second it.
Council member Taylor was the first on that. So it's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda by unanimous consent. And if there's no objections, hearing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. So that takes care of a bunch of the stuff in the packet right there. And we move on to ordinance for public hearing. And we have one item, and that is FY23-15 NCO capital project funding for the GVFD radio repeater tower installation, and it was introduced on at the March general meeting. And so I will open the floor for public testimony on that NCO, whether to approve that NCO. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify on this? Okay, seeing none, public hearing is closed. It was opened and closed at 7:40 p.m. for the record there. And so we'll bring it back to the council floor. Do any council members wish to make any comments or have any discussion on this NCO? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk please call for a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
All in favor? Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, so we have our funding in place then approved for the radio tower, repeater tower installation. And by the way, that's an item that we're actually hoping to get some more grant funding, so we may not need to use as much of our own money as we originally thought, but we have it there regardless. So we're ready to proceed with that project. That takes us to item 15 on the agenda, which is to award the contract for the radio repeater tower installation, which closed during this last month. And I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Driscoll.
I move that we award the contract for the GBFD radio repeater tower installation as described in RQFY 2324 to Glacier Bay Construction Incorporated in accordance with their quotation dated 3/16/2023 in the amount of $55,900.
Okay, do we have a second, please? Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Driscoll and seconded by Councilmember Muscoviac to award the contract for the GVFD radio repeater tower installation as described in RFQ FY23-04 to Glacier Bay Construction Inc. in accordance with their quotation dated 3/16/2023 in the amount of $55,900. Okay. This is a new business item. So at this point, we ask for any public comment on this award. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the award of this project to Glacier Bay Construction? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on that one. And we'll come to the council. Do any members of the council wish to comment or on this project award, contract award? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Muscoviac?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. And we'll be proceeding with that project in short order here. The results of that will, when that tower is up and the antenna replaced, we'll have much better coverage across Gustavus for our emergency response team. That brings us to item number 16, which is award of another contract. This one I'm going to move on. It's to award RFQ FY23-05, the septic holding tank facility. This is for installation of the tanks. And it covers all the installation of the tank, the bearing of them with the holding devices and all of that. We'll actually fund the road coming into it separately from that. And depending on how much money we have in this project, we may need to supplement that construction or the construction of the access road and the pad later. But the main thing is to get the tanks in the ground while the water table is at its minimum this spring. So therefore, I move to award the contract for the septage holding tank facility as described in RFQ FY23-05 to Glacier Bay Construction in accordance with their quote. Let's see, I'm going to get the date on that. Of April 6th, 23, in the amount of $22,030. And by the way, I'll add that this just closed last Friday, so that's why it wasn't in the packet that was prepared last Wednesday, but we wanted to move forward with this. So I have the bid submission form here if anybody wishes to look at it. but the amount's $22,030. May we have a second on that, please?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Mayor Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to award the contract for the septage holding tank facility as described in RFQ 23-05 to Glacier Bay Construction in accordance with their quote dated April 6, 2023 in the amount of $22,030. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the award of this contract for the septage holding tank installation? Louis Sharman, your comment, please.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I'm very supportive of this, along with all other steps that are going toward addressing our septage problem here in Gustavus. I'd like to commend you guys and the city administrator for all the work you've done up till now, especially this winter and last summer, and then going forward, including the long-term vision, you know, trying to get some grant money to look in out years into the future for a more permanent solution. But in the meantime, I'm very supportive of all of these steps because septage management in this town is not a trivial issue, and we need to do something about it, and I'm really glad that we are. So thank you.
Thank you, Louis. Do any council members have a follow-up question or a clarification from Louis Sharman? Okay, seeing none, thanks, Louis, for your supporting comment. Are there any other members of the public who would wish to comment on this award? Okay, seeing none, any members of the council wish to comment on this project or award? Okay, seeing none, I guess we can have a roll call vote. Mr. Clerk, please.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor? Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We're looking forward to getting that one moving forward. That brings us to item 17, which is another non-code ordinance, FY23-20NCO. The introduction of the FY24 budget. This is our operating budget for the next fiscal year. We introduce it this month, and we have public hearings scheduled for May 8, 2023. And I'll go ahead and make the motion on this one. I move to introduce FY23-20NCO for the FY24 budget with a public hearing being on scheduled for May 8, 2023. May I have a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, it's Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop has seconded my motion to introduce FY23-20NCO for the FY24 budget with public hearing being on May 8, 2023. Remember, this is for introduction. We this puts the budget out for public comment for the next month, and we'll have a public hearing with public input on the details of the budget next month. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the introduction of this NCO? Watching on my screen here. Okay, I'm not seeing any members of the public come up, so we'll close the public comment on that. Do any council members wish to comment on the introduction of this budget? And a lot of work on this. I know you've all put a lot of time in understanding it. So, okay, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you all. We'll move on to item 18. And this is to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2023 to 2027. And what this is a plan that it's sort of an evergreen plan. And every year we sort of update it with projects that we've got done and any that we've added or think that we may want to do sometime in the future. And our treasurer has gone through and honed that plan very nicely. So it's it really contains projects that are really significantly things that we hope to do at some point. And it has it indicates which ones we got done during the last year, what the status is of ones that we're doing now, and the ones that we envision farther out in the future. So Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop has a motion for us on this one.
Yeah, I move to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for the years 2023 through 2027.
May we have a second, please?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Bishop and seconded by Councilmember Owens to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for the years 2023 to 2027. I should mention also that a major purpose for this kind of plan is when we're seeking grants, they typically ask, is your project included in a plan that's been considered by your council and is something that you have actually included in a long-term plan. And so having the items addressed in the plan in advance puts us in or meets that requirement when we apply for grants. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the approval of the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2023 to 2027? So raise your hand, please. Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment on that. Do any council members wish to comment on this plan? We've talked about it a lot in the work sessions and so forth. Okay, seeing none, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis? Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to have to move on to a resolution here, and I want to get it on my paper copy so I can read it. So bear with me for a second while I get caught up here. I've got, I can get it here shortly, I think. So just there were so many things in this. Thinking I was getting behind on it. Oops, too far. Okay. Sorry for the delay. So this is item 19. It's the resolution approving the certified financial statement for the last fiscal year, and we do this every year. It's a requirement of a municipality, and we certify our financial closeout statement from the previous year and submit that to the state, and we do that every year. So may I have a motion, please, from Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Sure. I move to approve resolution CY23-04, certifying the annual certified financial statement of revenues and authorized expenditures for the year ending June 30th, 2022.
Okay, may we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Lewis and seconded by Councilmember Taylor. To approve resolution CY23-04, the resolution approving the certified financial statement. And we have to read all resolutions, so that's why I was fumbling through my packet here to find it. So it is resolution CY23-04, a resolution certifying the annual certified financial statement of revenues and authorized expenditures for the year ending June 30, 2022. Whereas the city of Gustavus is a recognized second-class city, and whereas second-class cities are required by AS29.20.640, paragraph A2, to submit a certified financial statement of income and expenditures or audit for the year ending June 30, 2022, to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the attached financial statement of Gustavus, Alaska for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2022 is true and complete to the best of our knowledge. And so that's the resolution. The financial statement is attached, and the treasurer attests that that it represents accurately our fiscal situation at the end of the last fiscal year. So do any members of the public wish to comment on approval of this resolution? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this item?
I just have one quick comment. I just can't help myself, but second class should be hyphenated.
Okay. Any other council members have comments on this? Now that we've got the hyphens dealt with. Okay. Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll get that sent off to DCCED and meet that requirement. The next item is a, oh, I might ask, does anybody wish to take a break for a few minutes? It's 8 o'clock and often we have a break now. We probably got another half hour, 45 minutes or so. Okay, not seeing anybody asking for a break. Okay. So the next is CY23-03. It's a resolution updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance. I skipped ahead here. CY23-05, resolution establishing policy and procedure for annual review and wage adjustment. And I would like to call on Councilmember Owens for a resolution on this, for a motion on this, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve resolution CY23-05, resolution establishing City of Gustavus policy and procedure for annual review and adjustment of salaries and wages in the operating budget.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Owens and seconded by Councilmember Lewis to approve resolution CY23-05, establishing policy and procedure for annual review and adjustment of salaries and wages in the operating budget. And I will read the resolution. Won't read the policy and procedure itself, which is in the packet, but if somebody needs that, we can do that too. So it is resolution CY23-05, a resolution establishing City of Gustavus policy and procedure for annual review and adjustment of salaries and wages in the operating budget. Whereas the Gustavus City Council recognizes city employees are a vital resource performing public services and understands that fair compensation is key to assuring employees are satisfied and productive to those ends. And whereas the City of Gustavus intends to compensate employees fairly upon review of relevant economic factors, and whereas the purchasing power of an employee's pay may be eroded by inflation, and whereas employee skills can evolve with experience and applicable training, which augment their job performance and provide increasing value to the community, and whereas the city mayor proposes a new operating budget annually, which in accordance with the policy of the City of Gustavus Resolution CY19-16 conservatively balances revenues with expenses, including the cost of employee compensation, and considers carefully the potential for unanticipated reductions in revenue or increases in costs due to emergencies as may occur during the fiscal year or in future fiscal years. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City Council approves the attached policy and procedure titled City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for Annual Review and Adjustment of Salaries and Wages in the Operating Budget. And be it further resolved that the mayor annually in developing the operating budget shall consider relevant and comparable economic factors, including those listed in the City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for Annual Review and Adjustment of Salaries and Wages in the Operating Budget, and propose any appropriate pay adjustments to the council to be documented in the operating budget narrative. So do any members of the public wish to comment on this policy and resolution and policy and procedure? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands coming up. Do any council members wish to comment on this item? I begin with the author who has done most of the work on this, or a lot of lead work on it, Council Member Owens.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And also, I have a small amending motion to the policy and procedures, and I'm not sure at what point we can address that. Shall we go ahead and proceed with the motion? And then I'm not sure, Madam Clerk.
Well, the main motion's on the table. So now it's up to you guys to discuss. If there's any amendments that need to be made, they can be made now.
Right.
Okay.
So you may propose an amendment.
We'll take one amendment at a time.
Okay. So how about I go ahead and describe the motion and then I'll, okay, I'll address the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood you. You should make your amendment now and then you guys can, you can describe it and you can discuss your amendment.
Okay. And Madam Clerk, I did send it on to you. Okay. If I can
find it. Well, Madam Clerk, if she had general comments on this, she could cover them first, I would think, and then offer her amendment. That'd be okay with me.
That's fine. But if her comments are regarding her amendment, she should make the amendment first.
Right. She can start with general comments and then make an amendment and comment on it.
Okay. I fully support the good intention of the resolution. And Councilmember Taylor and I did some work on it for the evaluation of employee performance and compensation annually in conjunction with developing the operating budget. And I appreciate the efforts that Mayor Taylor went in and doing the original draft. I did oppose language that requires salaries and raises that would require us to be competitive in the state of Alaska labor market measured against communities with vastly different economic capacities of population, industry, property taxes, and other income sources. And I worked towards language which would align us with comparable communities of our size and resources. I'm concerned about our diminishing income. In FY22 and FY23, we received $359,070 in ARPA and lost revenue ARPA funds. The FY24 budget includes $321,570 in American Rescue Plan funds, unexpended ARPA funds, and FEMA funds. These are transitory funding services we can't expect in the future. By counting these funds and the addition of 100,000 unspent funds from 2023, the current draft budget is balanced but reliant, relies on transient federal funds and unexpended budget items. We have diminishing resources. Without federal disaster funds in future years, we need to look carefully at our local economic resources. At one time, Gustavus had 3 fish processors and 14 fishing families, which is now reduced to 7 or 8 families. Fishing in northern southeast Alaska is on the decline, and the fishing boats and charter operators are having to travel farther west beyond Cross Sound to coastal waters to fish for salmon. Fish box taxes have been in decline. The increased cost of traveling to more remote fishing grounds may irreparably strain the commercial and charter fishing industries. Several B&Bs have closed in recent years, and this year Glacier Bay Lodge is rebuilding its staff housing, resulting in construction staff rentals of over a year, decreasing the available bed tax. I'm concerned about the trend of continuing increase in total payroll expenses. Each COLA and each raise and increase in hours expands the recurring payroll fiscal note each year. Gustavus has a growing demographic of people living on fixed income, and I'm concerned about increasing our per capita tax burden to pay for expanding government payroll expenses, which currently counts, by my calculation, 52% of our total budget. I'm also concerned about the increasing cost of living and the increasing numbers of people living on a fixed income. And so for this reason, I would like to see the payroll be paid for out of the local tax base. Increasing capital project and maintenance needs. We are going to be facing new capital projects. Expensive road and building maintenance needs and federal and state grant matching requirements are going to require increasing expenditures from our savings. It would be best that our operating budget not compete for funding from the savings accounts. I was also going to refer to a petition which 149 people signed in July of 2019, in which they, let's see here. 149 signatures, which was gathered in 6 days, representing 95% of the votes cast in the previous municipal election. The petition urged that the City of Gustavus annual budget for payroll expenses not exceed 100% of estimated total tax revenues, such as sales tax, bed tax, fish box tax, local taxes and fees, except in the case of a temporary emergency. The petition pointed out that between 2016 and 2019, the city payroll expense had increased by 89%. By my count, since 2016, it has increased by 227% and accounts for 52% of our FY24 budget. The amendment that I would like, that I'm proposing, since at the work session, we had a discussion about one of the I'm just looking for my in the policies and procedures document, we referenced six different economic, labor market, and performance factors to be considered in salary increases and in setting salaries and wages. And the second one, which referenced a community tax burden determined by the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, per capita tax revenues table, has drew quite a bit of discussion. And in reviewing the most current one, I found another table that I thought was equally interesting, which has all of the different sources of tax revenues for various communities, such as the bed taxes, sales taxes, and other fish box taxes. So my reason for amending it would be to remove that particular reference to the tax burden language. And so I would move to amend item number 20, City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for Annual Review and Adjustment of Salaries and Wages in the Operating Budget. It's on page 177 of the packet, number 2, line 2, to delete the words "the community tax burden as determined," and line 4 to delete the words "per capita tax revenues table," so that number 2 reads as follows: compensation for similar positions in comparable rural communities with relevant economic factors such as the Alaska Department of Commerce, Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition. And as I was, as we discussed during the work session, these different six factors are items that the mayor may review and he's not obligated to, but they're proposed data, elements of data information and relevant economic information in determining wages and salaries. Okay, I'm done.
Did you give your proposed amendment to the clerk? Can I see it so I know exactly what so I can? I'll restate this, and then we'll ask for a second. I wanted to make sure everybody. We'll get to a second. So, I move. Councilmember Owen says I move to amend item number 20. City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for Annual Review and Adjustment of Salaries and Wages in the Operating Budget, page 177, number 2, line 2, to delete the words "the community tax burden as determined," and line 4, to delete words "per capita tax revenue table," so that the number 2 reads as follows: compensation for similar positions in comparable rural communities with relevant economic factors, such as the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition. Do we have a second on this one?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Owens and seconded by Councilmember Muscoviac to amend item 20, City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for annual review and adjustment of salaries and wages in the operating budget, page 177, number 2, line 2, to delete the words "the community tax burden as determined," and line 4 to delete words "per capita tax revenue table," so that the number 2 reads as follows: compensation for similar positions in comparable rural communities with relevant economic factors, such as the Alaska Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development Alaska Taxable Report. Do council members have any comments on this amendment, proposed amendment? Council Member Taylor?
I like the direction you're headed with this. I've heard it said a couple times now, and does it say relevant economic factors such as determined in the Alaska Department of Commerce Community and Economic Development Alaska Taxable Report? I would prefer it with "as determined in," but I think that the idea is still there.
Councilmember Owens, would you like to respond to that?
I would accept that.
So do you wish to change your, okay, "as determined in"? Okay, any other comment on this one?
Just one minor one here. We have comparable rural communities. Well, if it's comparable, it is a rural community. So we could just say comparable communities and delete one word there.
Is that are you wishing to amend this, or are you just commenting?
We can do what we please. It doesn't hurt either way, but it just saves one word and makes it a little bit clearer.
Jim likes to pare his writing down, which I appreciate. But Councilmember Taylor, you've worked on this quite a bit.
Yeah, I guess I'll keep this germane to the motion, but it's sort of relevant. I also have an amendment, a separate amendment to the item in question, which I'll present after we've dealt with this amendment. Sure. Which largely alters this same section. So I guess, do you amend? This is mostly maybe point of order here. Can, if this amendment is to pass, do I just amend the amended?
You can do one amendment on an additional on an amendment, and then that's it. Or you can wait and do a separate one afterwards, after this one is either accepted or rejected.
Mayor Taylor, it's right. A little bit easier for us if we do one amendment at a time.
Yes, that'd be simpler,
it just,
I think,
keeps
for the record.
It a little cleaner that way.
Yeah, and given how my amendment
addressed it. Once this amendment passes or fails, then we go back to the main motion as amended, and then we can do another amendment.
Great. Appreciate that point of order. I'm mostly just wrapping my head around the parliamentary procedure here, so thank you for that.
Okay, I'll say one thing about this. I think this simplifies that paragraph some. I'm not sure that the Alaska DCCED Alaska Taxable Report is relevant, but it doesn't say you have to do this. It gives that as an example, and there might be something that in it that is relevant in a particular year to make this decision, and the mayor and the city administrator would have to consider what factors they think are relevant, what economic factors are relevant. So I personally don't object to this, and I'm willing to vote to support it. And then see if there are additional changes that could be made in another amendment. Anybody have any other comments? Okay.
Mike, Tanya.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Mayor sorry. Taylor. Thank you. I'm sorry. I forgot to look at my screen, Tanya. Councilmember Lewis. Okay.
I would just really advocate that we don't worry too much about wordsmithing this so it's exactly perfect. I think what the way I read number two is it lists some examples of how you might find information on compensation for similar positions. I'm fine with it the way it is. I don't think we need to get rid of the tax burden. I actually don't really understand what it is, but it seems like these are just they are hints, like you can go look here and use that as guidance, but it doesn't mean you have to. And I think all of them are like that. And I just think we shouldn't get really caught up in the minutia on this. This is up for future city council members to decide whether the staff costs are going to be within taxes or not. We don't have to decide that here. We don't have to balance the budget in perpetuity. We're just trying to help people in the future make sure that the wages are fair. And I understand Councilmember Owen's points, and I would just counterpoint, not saying they're wrong. I agree with them. And I am concerned that we can't keep good people on staff. And that is my number one priority, because we need good people on staff to do the good work of Gustavus. And if we need to pay them more, or future council members need to pay future staff more, then I believe it'd probably be worth it. So all the tools available, I kind of like this, these policies and procedures as they're written. Thank you.
Councilmember Taylor.
I appreciate your comments there, Tanya. And I guess my thought on number two, as we discussed it in the work session here, was mostly how it, based on our understanding of what the goal of including this resource in this list of resources was the as a reference to the relative cost of living in different communities. So I don't know if we had determined whether or not that the tax burden really serves as a measure of that, but so I guess I don't see a reason to not include the report. I likewise agree with you that I think there is an undocumented cost of turnover that we just pay for in training or in lost productivity. And when we lose good people, there is a pretty severe cost there, and that an austerity mindset tends to beget austerity. And so that's kind of my concern in trying to grant, like, really ratchet down on the budget when, like you said, balance the budget in perpetuity. So again, I likewise agree, though, that this is this one line in this one policy and procedure going to be, you know, the breaking change that runs the whole train off the rails? Probably not. So I have more trust than that in the future council. So I think you're probably right. We might be overthinking this.
I think our city administrator has a comment about this, since she has to deal with this sort of thing and will in the future.
So just, I think the motion that was made to take out the tax burden term and still use the document as an asset when determining this thing is fine. I talked to the state assessor and about the intent of the policy and procedure and the resolution, and he pointed out that it really doesn't have anything to do with a burden. That's a misnomer in there. It's used. It's not even in that document where it mentions a tax burden. So the two main charts in there that bring out, one of them says, if you're getting this much revenue in sales tax divided by this many people in your community, this is how much sales tax you're getting per community member. The other thing says, if you're getting this much in sales tax, then ostensibly you're bringing in $1.3 million in sales And so that's the guide under which you look at all of this. And then it says how much that equates to per person in the community, but it's not representative of the burden that they were talking about in terms of like not having property taxes, because he said that when we talked about the Anchorage CPI, he said that's about a basket of goods. They don't even bring property taxes into that equation. So this is where it's sort of the root of the whole thing was. So I think by getting rid of the tax burden sort of misnomer in there, it's still an okay tool to look at. So that's my clarification. We're okay with that.
Thank you for the staff view on that. That's important. Any other comments on this one?
I do.
Just Councilmember Driscoll.
So I'm not actually clear as to how that's going to help us decide what the compensation should be, because in the document, so it says compensation for similar positions. So how do we know what comparable rural communities are paying or to compensate those positions? That is that in the document?
Maybe I can answer that. There is the reference to the Alaska Municipal League's local government salary and benefits survey, and we use that every year. That's our best way of telling what other cities are paying for somewhat similar jobs, but we have to weigh what we see in the table with things like how big a community it is, they also have the population size, and we know those communities also. So that AML survey is the best way of doing that.
So then it seems to me that number two is redundant with number three, because what we're saying is looking for what the compensation is in comparable communities. But if that information is gotten through that thing that's referenced in number three, it seems number two is not necessarily relevant and could be taken out.
I'll respond on that one too. I think number two is more broad in that it, the idea is, the whole idea here is to try to understand what the labor market is for positions and make sure that we are competitive within a labor market in general. In other words, we're not underpaying people so much that we lose our staff or we can't hire anybody, that sort of thing. And number two might, or refers to broader economic factors, which are not necessarily stated. There's one example here, but it may include employment outside of the municipal government. So the AML survey is only for government employees in municipal governments. And so number two, I would read as being a little broader and we should probably be thinking as broadly as we can and not just look at the AML tables. Does that help?
Okay.
Any other comments on this amendment? Okay, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on the amendment? Oh, do I need to restate the amendment, Madam Clerk or Mr. Clerk?
Yes.
Okay. The amendment was to amend item 20 of City of Gustavus Policy and Procedure for Annual Review and Adjustment of Salaries and Wages in the Operating Budget, page 177, number 2, line 2, to delete the words "the community tax burden as determined," and line 4 to delete the words "per capita tax revenues table," so that number 2 reads as follows: 2, compensation for similar positions in comparable rural communities with relevant economic factors determined as determined in the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Council Member Tanya Lewis.
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikowiak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, that brings us back to the main motion. Is there further comment on the main motion? Councilmember Taylor.
I'd like to make a further amendment. I'd move to amend the item in question as follows. In the resolution, CY23-05, on the second line of the final whereas statement, strike the policy of, for clarity's sake, as this reference is to a resolution, which is not policy. In the procedure section of the proposed policies and procedures, strike the second list item and replace it with, quote, the relative cost of living in communities which are being used as a point of reference for pay rates. This may be influenced by the community's tax burden, rural location, and other factors. Then rearrange the second and third list items, making the amended second list item number 3 and the current third list item number 2. In the sixth list item, replace the word tax with ongoing.
Okay, do we have a second on this one?
I'll second that.
Okay, I'll have to have a something to read that from. Okay, yeah, and the clerk will need that, so you could email it. Oh, she's got it.
I'm sorry, Mike, real quick, who seconded the motion?
Sorry, I didn't restate that. Councilmember or Vice Mayor Bishop. Okay, I move to amend the item in question as follows. In the resolution CY23-05, on the second line of the final whereas statement, strike, quote, the policy of, end quote, for clarity's sake, as this reference is to a resolution, which is not policy. And then in the procedure section of the proposed policies and procedures, strike the second list item and replace it with, quote, the relative cost of living in communities which are being used as a point of reference for pay rates. This may be influenced by the community's tax burden, rural location, and other factors. Rearrange the second and third list items, making the amended second list item number 3 and the third list item number 2. In the sixth list item, replace the word tax with ongoing. Okay. You need this back. I'll keep this in case. Yeah. I'll probably have to read this again. You wish to make any more supporting comments on this?
Yeah. So basically trying to rephrase that second list item to get more at the heart of why we were trying to include it in the document in the first place, as per our discussion in the work session, you know, how is this actually going to help us determine a pay rate for somebody? And it seemed to me from that discussion that what this basically was getting at is the relative cost of living and making sure we're, you know, trying to keep that in mind, and also, you know, what a comparable community kind of looks like. And so looking at, you know, relative cost of living in other communities, so that we're not trying to compete with a place that's got a wildly different cost of living, essentially. And, you know, in the mindset of being a little bit more broad, giving a list of factors, you know, the community tax burden, the rural location, as we discussed, you know, we don't have a super high, there's no property tax here, but I jokingly tell my partner that we pay property tax to Alaska Seaplanes because it's $500 to go to the dentist. So, you know, there's more than property tax involved here. And then the sixth item, altering that to still try and encapsulate Shelley's very valid point that we don't want to be paying people out of our savings account. Our operating budget definitely should not draw on the savings account, but still trying to acknowledge that we have a variety of revenue sources. Some of them are ongoing and not all of them are ongoing. So we certainly shouldn't be planning on spending revenue, which is not going to be ongoing. So that's, I guess, mostly just trying to broaden it so that it doesn't unnecessarily kneecap anyone in the future, but still encapsulates the vision of what we're trying to do here.
Okay, any other comments from council members? Councilmember Owens.
Well, I agree with the whereas, removing the policy of, with regard to COLA and striking number two, the Alaska tax table, that's what number one is about. The Alaska Consumer Price Index is the COLA assessment. Although COLA doesn't apply to rural areas, we rely on it because we don't have anything else. And I hate to throw out this Alaska Tax Table 2002. The reason why, and one of the reasons why I changed the language, is because by referencing it just to one table, we're missing out on Tax Table 1B, which has all of the pages of all of the comparable communities, much more than what the Alaska Municipal League has, I think because it's voluntary. But so for all the communities in the state, it has their, boy, these are really tiny, hard to read, sales tax, bed tax, car rental tax, alcohol tax, marijuana tax. It has, if we are to determine, you know, sort of what we think are comparable communities, this document and this data from the Department of Labor, I think, is probably a very valuable document. I'd hate to just throw it out because these things are not required to be evaluated in the course of establishing wages and salaries. But it's one tool that could be used. So I would like to retain the Alaska tax table with all of the sources of information that it has. And as far as changing number six, the projected tax revenue to ongoing revenue, again, this isn't mandatory, but I think we should be evaluating our taxable income, because I don't think our income sources, other than getting, you know, federal and state resources, which we are never guaranteed, I think that we should probably be looking at what our tax revenues are in terms of whether we can fund. You know, it's not mandatory, but it is a way of evaluating our continuing financial, you know, resources. So I would oppose it.
So, Councilmember Driscoll.
At one of the prior meetings, you handed out a copy of the tax 1A, and I have it here. It doesn't have the year, but I'm looking at the numbers and I see that it says Gustavus has the, so I get, my point is that I don't know how accurate this is in what we're actually, what are we comparing? Because it says under there, that under Gustavus, the sales tax is $265,331. It gives an other tax of $33,595 for a total of $2,098. $926. And so when I looked at the document that we have from the budget in our packet, the numbers for the various years can vary a lot. And so if we compare what this is saying to what it says in the packet from the 2023 year so far now, we have a sales tax of $395,493, a fish tax of $8,520, a remote sales tax of $46,038, and a bed tax of $100,545. So if you added all those up, you're going to get a way bigger number than what it says in this chart. And so my point is that if you're looking at a table like this, it might be obsolete in a year if our numbers are way different. And so when you're using this, a chart such as this, as a document that you're going off of, but then when you look at what the reality is of this year, there's a big discrepancy. And so I wonder how valuable these numbers are in making a determination of what we're going to pay our employees.
That's Member Owens.
And the numbers did change from 2021 to 2022. This is the document. And the reason, another reason that I found it valuable to not reference that particular table 1A, I guess, but to keep it open to the other materials in this book, is because of table 1B, which is the reported tax rates. It's not that we are going to be relying on the dollar amounts in these tables, but that we're going to be looking at comparable communities. We're looking at, if we were, I didn't feel that it was appropriate for us to, when the original resolution and P&Ps were drafted, it referred to a competitive Alaska labor market. And I didn't want us to be comparing our resources with communities that have property taxes and large industries and large sources of income. So this is not for the exact dollar amount. This is just so we can be looking at comparable communities that are similar to us in size and resources. Okay.
Or just Councilman to chime Taylor. In here, for what it's worth, I think that the spirit of the document, the Alaska Taxable Report, I think it's called, is sensible enough in trying to kind of give you a set of parameters. And if I would be happy to still include that in the second point, to further amend this to retain that, because I still mention community tax burden. I just felt like it was a little bit wordy to then also include the entire document. But I feel I do understand that if you understand what they're trying to do there, then it can be a useful point of reference. But as Kathy has pointed out, it's an imperfect tool to do a really rough approximation, especially in places where you get one outlying industry paying a lot of tax and then that being, broadly divided. The reason I decided to fully remove the reference to it was because it felt like such a rough approximation that I wasn't sure that it could really be super valuable in helping to make a decision. But I agree with the spirit of, this is just a list of tools to present to future decision makers. And if someone's not aware of this, then they won't even know whether or not to look at it to decide whether or not to make a decision on it or not. So I'd be happy to include that back in, because really I just left it out in the name of rephrasing and maybe Jim Makoviak's spirit of keeping things brief.
So you could do another amendment if you want to put that back in after this one if this one is passed. One question I have is that, a key item about Item 2 was that they're going to compare compensation for similar positions in comparable communities. We seem to have lost that in am I missing something here? It sounds like you're addressing costs of living issues in different communities, but we've lost reference to comparing similar positions. And when we're talking about market, the labor market, it seems considering the compensation similar positions is important. Now that is partially covered in number 3 on where we're using the AML tables, but did you have a comment on that?
Yeah, so I had imagined that the third item was covering that, looking at similar positions. And that this was, I guess I did lose a little bit of the comparable communities, but in my mind, with the AML tables being the key tool that we're using, this sort of sits as an addendum to that what would be the second line item. That's why I reordered them, was to, you know, you read Alaska Municipal League tables, and then for any positions which are being considered, then you also should look at the cost of living for that area to make sure you're looking at a comparable community, was kind of the idea.
And how do you determine the cost of living in, say, Haines or Craig or?
That's a great question. I'd say, what is it fair to say dead reckoning? I mean, that's what, how do you do it?
I wouldn't consider it myself. So, you know, but your point though about that is very close to what Councilmember Driscoll was saying, that the compensation of comparable for comparable positions is covered in three. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is true for the municipal government, and that's our, you know, our main comparable. So I can accept that. There are other comments on this amendment?
Yeah, I'd like to comment a little bit here and just step back a little bit, because the key word in all this stuff is shall. And if you go up to the procedure just on the previous page before this list, the mayor and the administrative staff shall each spring, or shall review pays. Then it says, and with consideration of, but not limited to, the following economic, labor market, and performance factors. So, I mean, that's just wide open there. I mean, they can look at it, they cannot look at it, they can add things. So our discussion here is a little bit getting ahead of ourselves, I would say.
Into the weeds, perhaps. Okay, any other comments? Okay, ready for a vote on the amendment. The amendment that we are voting on was to amend the item such that in the resolution CY23-05, on the second line of the final whereas statement, strike the policy of, for clarity's sake, as this reference is to a resolution which is not policy. And second bullet point, in the procedure section of the proposed policies and procedures, strike the second list item and replace it with, quote, the relative cost of living in communities which are being used as a point of reference for pay rates. This may be influenced by the community's tax burden, rural location, and other factors. Rearrange the second and third list items, making the amended list item number three and the current, making the amended second list item number three and the current third list item number two. In the sixth item, replace the word tax with ongoing. Okay, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
No.
Councilmember Shelley Owen? Councilmember Deneen Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes 5 in favor, 2 opposed.
Okay. Any further discussion or amendments?
We dropped out the language about including the tax table. That didn't get included in the amendment. I would like to make a motion that it be incorporated into paragraph 2, reference to the Alaska tax table.
Want to write out
state your motion more specifically, how you want it recorded.
Well, it would be difficult because I don't have the written language of the adopted amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
You want to do it?
We're just waiting for a motion to be crafted. So don't be alarmed by the silence.
Okay, so I move to amend the item and question as follows. In item 3 of the procedure section of the proposed policies and procedures add, and this is the new language, as can be determined in the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition, such that it reads, the relative cost of living in communities which are being used as a point reference in pay rates. This may be influenced by the community's tax burden, open parentheses, this is new language, as can be determined in the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition, close parentheses, rural location and other factors.
Okay, do we have a second? I guess I better have that. Next.
I'll second this.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Owens and seconded by Councilmember Taylor to amend the item in question as follows. In item 3 of the procedure section of the proposed policies and procedures add, open parentheses, as can be determined in the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition, such that it reads, the relative cost of living in communities which are being used as a point of reference for pay rates. This may be influenced by the community's tax burden, as can be determined, this parentheses, as can be determined by the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Alaska Taxable Report, latest edition, close parentheses, rural location and other factors. Any comments on this amendment?
This is Jim Mack. If I can, I'll just step back and say what I said before. You know, with consideration of, but not limited to, the following economic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, we can be adding things all night long, but it doesn't really require anyone to do this. And anyone that's thinking about it would probably consult this sort of stuff. But we've been at this for quite a while here.
Any other comments? Yeah, I guess I'm just hoping we can get something that has most people happy with this thing. So I'll support.
This is Tanya. Can I say something?
Yes, Tanya.
Yeah, I just agree with Jim and think we're wasting a lot of time. We could have figured this out in the work session or by email. And I think we should move on. So that's my 2 cents. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments before we go? Okay, I've read it, I think. So so Mr. Clerk, may we have roll call vote on this amendment, please?
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelley Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Deneen Driscoll?
No.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes 6 in favor, 1 against.
Okay, that brings us back to the main motion. Is there any further discussion? People are looking kind of tired of this. Okay, then guess we need a vote on the main motion, and I could not repeat the whole thing, I don't think. So
I'm going to have to go through the recording to.
Yeah, but sure I think we've got, you know, we've agreed with the all the changes broadly. So may we have a vote on the main motion to approve this resolution?
Yes, Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelly Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes, all in favor.
Okay, thank you. I hope that'll be useful to future mayors and city administrators. Okay, that takes us to item 21, this is another resolution, CY23-06, updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance, records retention schedule. Council Member Taylor, may we have a motion from you on this, please?
I move to approve resolution CY23-06, updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance, records retention schedule.
Okay, maybe we have a second, please. I'll second it. So it's been moved by Council Member Taylor, seconded by Mayor Taylor, to approve resolution CY23-06, updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance, records retention schedule. And I would like to call on the city clerk for a staff report on this one, if she could explain what she's done with on this one, what the changes are, perhaps.
The change.
Okay, thank you. That's a good clarification. Reminds me of what was done. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this? I need to read the resolution. I need to read the resolution. This is a resolution by the City of Gustavus updating the policy and procedures for public records maintenance, Appendix 1, records retention schedule. Whereas the Gustavus City Council recognizes that a records information management and retention policy is essential to the proper maintenance, storage, and destruction of all records used, created, received, maintained, or held by the municipality. And whereas the City of Gustavus last updated its records maintenance policy and procedure, Appendix 1, records retention schedule, effective May 9th, 2022. And whereas this policy will reduce requirements for storage space, ensure consistency and disposition and handling, and reduce chances of reckless disposal. Whereas Gustavus Municipal Code 2.70.030 requires the mayor to approve a records retention schedule that details the types of records that will be retained and the period of time for which they are retained. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Gustavus City Council updates this policy and procedure for public records maintenance, Appendix 1, records retention schedule attached to include the disposal and recycling center as record series D, and made a part of this resolution. Okay, do any members of the public have any comments on this resolution? Okay, we'll close public comment. Do any council members wish to comment on this? What, no amendments? Okay, yeah, I'm okay with it. I trust the clerk's work on this and the and Fallberry's as well. So, Mr. Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on this, please?
Councilmember Tanya Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Shai Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Janine Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Jim Mikowiak?
Yes.
Mayor Mike Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thanks. That'll get us moving on better record schedule and a nice finishing touch for our clerk who's departing. That brings us to city council reports. Do any members of the council have a report on a project they're working on? Council Member Driscoll has something for us here.
So I've been working with the mayor a little bit on a project that I've spoke about before, and that was a project that would be able to improve the accessibility of our beach park and the surrounding meadow areas by people who have limited mobility or have mobility issues. And so I think that it goes very much with our vision statement, where we have a closeness with and caring for other people to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions. And having access to the beach, having access to that area is a huge part of our community tradition. And I think as we're going forward in time as a city, I think it's really important that we do everything that we can to be in compliance with the spirit of the ADA, the American with Disabilities Act, and that we do whatever we can that is reasonable to allow everyone to be able to use the beach park area. And so to that goal, what I'm suggesting is that the city purchase three items. One is this really, really skookum beach wheelchair. And it's a, you can find it online with a picture and information on a company called Debug, which is kind of a strange name. But that is the name of the company that makes these things. And they have huge tires, and they are would be able to go not only on the hardened trail that we are making, but they'd be able to go on the beach. They'd be able to go onto the trails in the meadow areas. They allow you to get the person in the wheelchair to get basically past the hardened trail. And they've got really large wheels. They're stainless steel. They're used in national parks. They're used in other state parks. They're used in other local parks. And they've been very, very successful in allowing people to get access to off of the road. They've been used in some parks where the ADA says the regulations are such that you have your trails be accessible to the people with disabilities. And these are able to comply with that. And so I highly recommend that you take a look at this, the wheelchair, the beach chair. It's a very, very, very cool thing. I think about it as well in talking with some of the people in the community. There was a suggestion that not only we have a wheelchair, but we have a walker. And the same company makes walkers with these big honking wheels, which would allow people to use the walker, go out on the beach trail and go further even than the hardened trail. And then like many of those types of walkers, they have a place for the person to sit and rest. And then the third item is one that came up as talking with some of the younger generation with they make a beach baby jogger. So now you could take not only our older generation, but our youngest generations can go off of the road, can go off of the hardened trail. And families and multi-generational families can be able to go and access the area. And so I'm proposing that we purchase those three items. They come to a total cost, including shipping, with a total cost of $5,128 for those three items. And so I think that that is a very reasonable price to pay to allow us to move forward and realize the importance of being a community that is able to facilitate everyone having access to our beach park. So that's basically the easy part of the project. The maybe one that has a few more things to think about is where to store them. And so there will need to be a shed that would be near the beach trail, near the access, near the parking lot, right at the beginning of the trail or somewhere. somewhere in that vicinity that we would be able to store those items. I'm thinking there's other things that at the beach that get stored. So for example, there's a wheelbarrow that is there by the dock. I noticed it's just kind of sits out in the wintertime. It was back by the bathrooms and it was not in a covered area. This potentially the shed could include something like the wheelbarrow, or maybe it could have an overhang of a roof to be able to have things that are used at the beach, such as that wheelbarrow, or maybe other things that the marine facilities person would need to have access to. So I looked at some various sheds to get just a ballpark figure. There's a shed that's a little bit larger than the one that we need that you could get as a kit through Home Depot. And it had a cost of $2,000, and then some other materials that were needed to complete it added an extra $1,000. So I'm not sure we need to go with the size of the kit. And Mike was suggesting that maybe we could build it here with materials that we purchased. But I would say as an estimate, maybe we'd be looking at around $3,000 for the materials and estimate maybe 15 to 20 hours of time for someone to construct it. And so I'm putting this forward that is a proposal that we purchase these materials from this Debug Mobility Project products. They have a lead time of 12 to 14 weeks in terms of getting it out the door. And when I first inquired, they put us on a wait list without an obligation to purchase. So we went on the wait list starting March 30th. So potentially those items could be shipped here sometime June or July of this year. And then the construction of a shed would depend upon, getting the materials maybe and then building it. We would need to decide, where to put the shed. We would need to decide one of the issues that a lot of the community members I've talked with have thought about is making sure the thing is protected and that it's not vandalized. The question is, do we keep it open and accessible? Do we make it such that someone needs to have a code for a keypad to get into it? If that were the case, it would be less likely to be used by visitors. And I think as we're going forward and we're promoting Gustavus as a community for people to come to visit, I think that it's a great thing to be promoting that we have a beach that is flat, a beach that's accessible, and that we welcome people with mobility issues to come and use our beach. So I would probably think that having it open to the public would be a good option. I went online and found that there's a website for the National Park Service where you can more information about the wheelchairs that they have. And so I put in a question asking them if they have any issues with vandalism or if they have any suggestions for us. And I have not yet heard back from them. So that's where I am on this. And I think it's a pretty cool thing. I think about my dad came to visit and he had Parkinson's disease and he'd had a knee that was fused and it would have been awesome to take him on the beach in that. I have an aunt who had a stroke and I went and visited her in Minnesota for 10 years post and I was the one pushing the wheelchair. And I tell you, if you're pushing a regular in-house wheelchair on anything other than a hard surface, it doesn't go. And it was heartbreaking not to be able to take my aunt to all these places in nature that as a child I had enjoyed with her. And so I think about people in the community. I think about Maureen. I think about she could have been out on the beach for her last days here. I think about other people here who could be using this. You maybe would need it if you had a hip surgery or a knee surgery, or we're all getting older. And I think it's something that would be a feather in our cap as what this community stands for if we had that beach park be accessible to all.
And I think you're going to have a scoping document completed for us for May for approval, right?
Correct.
Okay. We'll look forward to seeing that. I have looked at pictures of that, and they did show the beach wheelchair being pushed along within a feet, on the wet sand of a beach within feet of the lapping tide. So looks like it can handle some pretty soft ground. It might be just the ticket for us. Okay. Any other projects that looks like Jim Muscoviac has his hand up for a comment. Jim?
Yeah, it's not a project, but it relates to the beach. Well, Mike, you and I had the pleasure of going with Ben DeBure and walking the golf course and the beach, and it was nice to be out. And we also just thank Ben and Donna for letting us use their property. And it's just been a great place to get some exercise and get some fresh air and visit with people while we're walking. And again, if you see Ben, you know, just thank him. This really means a lot to the community.
Thank you. Ben will be back here in another couple of weeks, or in May sometime, I think. So, yes, if you see Ben, by all means, express the thanks for the public use of their properties. Vice Mayor Bishop.
I'd just like to say that I strongly support this endeavor by Janine. Thank you really for all that hard work. And although there's a lot of considerations to make when doing something like this, I think it's a small price to pay. And typically when we hash out the details of, oh, we couldn't do it for this, we couldn't do it for that, I think we can do it. It's just about navigating those little hurdles. And I'm on board. You have my support. I'll help in any way I can.
Thanks. Any other, Jim Muscoviac, you have your hand up again, or is that, did you have something else to add?
No, I forgot to put my hand down. Sorry.
Okay. Didn't want to miss another comment. Might have been a hyphen to fix, who knows. Okay, any other comments on projects that by council members? Okay, I'll give a sort of try to make a brief summary of my 5-page mayor's report. I'm not going to go through all the things. A lot of it we've covered already. Again, I would say, though, we're going to miss Karen Platt in the city clerk position. And she served us so ably and with diligence for almost 6 years. And she's a certified municipal clerk, so she went to the extra effort to gain that professional status. And we wish her the very best in her new work at Bartlett Cove for the Park Service. And we have that city clerk position out posted for applications. If anybody knows somebody who'd be a good candidate, please encourage them to call here and ask about it and fill out an application. We did a little bit of work, the city administrator and treasurer and I, on the budget. We did a few little tweaks in the budget that we have introduced. We met with the librarians, well, with Jesse Soder, and made some adjustments to the way the supply budget was covered to make sure that that we were showing that we'd be getting the PLA grant, for example, and then we would be spending that money specifically on, or the equivalent of that, on books and library materials. And so we made a few little changes there. And we still have a conservatively balanced budget. We're using $100,000 from carryover, but it's carryover that we know that we've collected the money this year for, and we're not going to spend it on things that we had originally intended to spend it on, such as the audit. And so we'll be doing an audit next year, probably not the year after that, but next year. So the money we're moving forward can be used for that. We also don't expect to use our emergency funding that the plan is to roll over every year. So we have a pretty conservative budget. It's balanced, as is required by DCCED and their training of us. We'll have more opportunities to discuss it when it's up for public hearing next month. We had some disappointing news from Alaska Power and Telephone on the filing that their Vice President Jason Custer made to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to reopen a docket on the rates for Gustavus and create a separate NPS power sales credit that would allow us to take full advantage of that credit account after or without losing power cost equalization credit. And the RCA declined to reopen the docket on some technical grounds, although they did not rule out, they didn't prejudice the actual intent of what we were trying to do.
But they suggested that it should be approached in the next rate case adjustment as part of that. So we'll be working with our Councilmember Muscoviac, and I will be working with Jason Custer of AP&T after AP&T has had a chance to consider this ruling by the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and think about the way forward so that we can get a stronger benefit from the implementation or the startup of the tie line. But I do note that businesses are still getting the full 11.7 cents this quarter already of benefit from the intertie. And we're just, unfortunately, those of us who are PCE qualified are losing some of that benefit through reduced PCE. But we'll keep working on that one. So that was bad news. There is some good news. The airport lease was approved for the softball field that we asked for last summer. You'll recall that the inspections of the airport lease lot, the inspectors were surprised to see that that a softball field was on their property and they didn't know about it and never been approved. Of course, it's been there for over a decade. They asked us to do, they said the community would have to lease that. And the easiest way to lease it was for the city to do the lease. The city qualifies for a lease that's free of charge. So we made the application late last summer, and Sharon Augustine of DOT and PF shepherded it through the process. The FAA had to approve it. The DOT had to approve it, but it's finally done. We signed the five-year lease on behalf of the city and community. I think you're all aware we've made great progress on getting our beach park signs renewed and back into place. I really want to thank Kathy Hawker for a fine job to refurbish the main beach park sign that says Gustavus Beach, our community park. And thanks to Zach Williams for a nice job in replacing the posts that have been sawed off. We still have to reinstall the dog waste collection bins, and we're going to put them on wooden posts. And the same posts will have the little symbolic signs that say no motor vehicles and so forth. So I think it'll be a more compact and better looking arrangement without the plastic posts that that support the dog waste bins. Thanks to Glacier Bay Construction for persevering with difficult conditions and breakup, trying to keep our roads as usable as possible. They certainly are in difficult condition right now. My own road has deep ruts and soft mud, and my electric car is parked in the garage. It's not going to make it down that road, so I'm glad for the four-wheel drive truck. But we're hoping to, with dry weather, even today and tomorrow, to make progress on more roads. So they'll be doing that as we can get, as conditions allow us to. The library bike shelter received its successful bid from Terra Construction, and it was well within our budget. We awarded the contract at the last meeting, and they have a notice to proceed now. John Berry is our project manager for that. Salmon River Park Playground Equipment Project is one that I'm managing with the help of council members Driscoll and Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop. We met and looked over proposals from three suppliers, and each supplier had three or four options of stuff that we could buy with the equipment cost of around $20,000 to expand our playground out here in the park, make it better for for bigger kids. And we are scheduled to meet with Ms. Karen McSpadden's class at the Gustavus School, which originally brought the idea to us to expand the playground equipment out there. So we have a meeting with them here in City Hall Thursday morning. to, or sorry, Thursday afternoon to have them look at the, we'll spread out the options and get comments from them about what they like. But there was some pretty exciting looking stuff. And related to that, I've asked the Park Service if we could have any boulders that are coming out of the housing construction site down there. And Kyle's been willing to look over what's available. And Jake down there has told us we could have them, we'll go and pick them up. So we'll give, if we can get some good boulders, that's just another thing that kids can climb around on. We'll build them into the project. Let's see, you're aware of the septage holding project. You got the update from the city administrator on that. We'll hope to be moving forward on that. Our Beach Park Hardened Trail also was awarded to Glacier Bay Construction, and John Berry is managing that. We'll be proceeding to work on that within the next 2 or 3 weeks, as soon as John gets back from his trip down south. And the fire hall repeater tower, Kathy mentioned that one. Again, Glacier Bay Construction was a successful bidder on that. And John Berry is managing that project too. So we'll be starting on that soon. And we may be able to qualify. It looks really good for qualifying for about a $20,000 grant from the state on that. So thanks to Kathy for figuring that out and moving, you know, getting that application in. We also have the application in, as Kathy mentioned, for the bike side path project. That's a big one with the state, and we'll just have to hope that we can be successful getting some federal funding for it because it's a big one. Let's see, we talked about the cul-de-sac turnarounds projects. You've approved the scoping document for that and the funding tonight. City Hall heat pump installation project is one that I'm working on with Dean Weichel, and the heat pump arrived. In fact, the condenser is stored right outside the wall here near where it will be installed, and we will have discharge units in each of the two parts of City Hall here. John Nixon is doing the electrical circuit for that. We, as you're aware, we've got an electric power problem, one leg of the three-phase power that comes into City Hall here has a fault in it. And so we've got to fix that first so that we can get our water system to run and all that. And we'll be dealing with a heat pump installation sometime after that. Alaska Heat Smart NGO over in Juneau is going to do some calculations to help us evaluate the effectiveness of this heat pump, how much it saves us in heating costs and so forth. And as Kathy mentioned, the old post office renovation is underway with Ken McGowan having cleaned out the stuff in it, and he's getting organized to start making repairs and renovate the space to make it into the bike shop. I was really pleased to have the input from Kelly McLaughlin and Whitney Rapp during our work session last Monday night. I thought we all got a better idea for the extent of PFAS issues in Gustavus, the growing appreciation of how widespread the contamination is. We've learned recently that one of the two monitoring wells, the shallower one that's right out the wall behind me here, has measurable PFAS that exceeds the EPA that recently has increased in sampling results to exceed the current EPA health guidance advisory level for drinking water. Therefore, that causes us to be concerned about the quality of water at our taps in here, also at the fire hall, And so I have I asked for a proposal from Shannon and Wilson to sample water at the city hall, the raw water on our well here, and the water also from the taps, assuming that the raw water will show PFAS. We'll see how much the tap water, how much our treatment systems here reduce the tap water. We have carbon filtration and we have a reverse osmosis tap. So we'll sample those. We'll sample water at the fire hall and at the sink tap there. We will do the same at the library to make sure we're okay there. The previous sampling there indicated non-detect, as I recall, but we're seeing some of these well samples changing considerably over time. So we'll do that. And we will sample at the community garden where we had non-detect results previously. We will do these samples three times this year in May, July and October, because we want to look for variation and make sure that we've got a good characterization. The proposal on that, each sampling event is, if we sample all those points in each sampling event, they're about $4,500 each time. So we're able to cover this month's or next month's sampling on our existing budget. For our operating budget, and we will address the SAM. We'll cut a new PO on the new operating budget to cover those expenses in July, in time for the sampling in July. It's possible that results on the first one or two sampling events may cause us to reduce the sampling in October. We'll just look at the results. So, and in addition, we're changing out all of our charcoal filters and the filter elements in the RO system here to make sure that before we do the sampling, so that we're starting out fresh with those, and they should be absorbing all of the PFAS compounds, we hope. So that's, and related to that, today I emailed a letter to Senator Keel with a copy to Representative Andy Story supporting the Senate Bill 67, which is intended to remove PFAS-containing fire suppressants from Alaskan airports. But I, in writing my letter, I noted that we definitely support that. It's really vital to do that to prevent future spills, but the bill does nothing to deal with past contamination from use of these materials. We believe that contamination is the responsibility of the state of Alaska and the federal government. So we believe that the legislature should be taking action on that, and the legislature should also do what they originally intended to do with Senate Bill 121 last year, which called for holding municipal fire departments harmless for contamination of the environment from use of those approved PFAS-containing AFFF foams. So in my letter, I asked them to either add that to the existing bill or consider a separate bill to deal with those things on the state level. Our Chief Martinez gave us an intro on the health fair. So that's Saturday, April 29, and I hope everybody will at least drop in circulate around and see the information that's there and consider whether you need screening, blood draws, and so forth. And then finally, City Administrator Kathy Leary and I appreciated a visit from the school district superintendent Ralph Watkins on April 3rd. He came to City Hall to meet with us, and we discussed how the city can support the success of the school and discussed our intent to develop a memorandum of understanding between the city and the school regarding are focusing primarily on the city public library, which is on school district property. And we want to be sure we're in a position to partner with the school to increase the educational opportunities for Gustavus school students. And then on April 4th, the next evening, Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop, Council Member Janine Driscoll, City Administrator Kathy Leary, and I participated in the evening Chatham School District Roundtable at the Gustavus School. And I think we all appreciated the opportunity to hear from Superintendent Watkins on this district's strategic plan, which some of us participated on in the development on back in October, and to discuss how it's being implemented. And we heard about the school budget and Superintendent Watkins' hopes for to make use of the new Reading in Alaska program from the Department of Education. We'll be looking for ways in which perhaps the library can support that program. So that's my report. I'll update this report for posting to include the things that we actually got done in this meeting that were still open at the time I drafted that. Any questions about what we've been doing here? Okay. Councilmember
Driscoll. To have more input to Senator Nikhil about it for members of the community?
Certainly.
And so
they love to hear from the community, and I think it'd be good. I mean, it's important cities support it, but individuals, that's helpful too.
Is it possible to see perhaps copies of your letter? Because it's always good to have bullet points to know what issues to bring up.
I can forward that, and but by all means, don't be limited to what I said. You may have additional views that ought to be brought to their attention. Please do. So I'll make sure that we get that sent out. I just emailed it this afternoon to them. Okay. Any other council questions and comments? That's the next item on here. Okay, I'm not seeing anything. That then brings us to the last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Do any members of the public have any comments on non-agenda items? This last opportunity. Okay, I'm not seeing any anything from the public. Looks like Janine had something else she wanted to say, though, before we close.
So in looking through a handbook that we have as a council member, I saw in it that it did say that the there's some DCRA provides the municipality with an assigned local government specialist who can be a tremendous resource to answer questions. And I'm just wondering if we, you know, as we, in answering your question of any suggestions of how we go forward as we get a transition to a new clerk, if that would be a resource that we would find helpful.
It certainly would. We have a representative. Ilya, Madam Clerk, his name, remind me.
Yura.
Yura.
I can't remember his last name. I always refer to him.
Yeah, it's a Russian name. Yes, and he did training here for us several years ago, and then we haven't had the training from them during the pandemic period, but he and their whole department is helpful, and the clerk does check in with them on any issue that we need help.
Can I add Madam something clerk, to yes? That? I have a ton of resources listed for whoever becomes clerk, but there's a ton of resources out there for learning opportunities and training, mentorship. There's lots available.
Okay, anybody else, anything else? Okay, well, we'll adjourn our meeting then at 9:42. Thanks everybody for sticking with us and working through these things. Good evening, everybody.